And I'm joined in studio by Steffi Baker. This is going to be pretty cool. This is the second one of the Red House residents that I've been able to interview. Steffi Baker is a mixed media botanical artist and teacher. Her specialties are pen and ink, color pencil, graphite, watercolor, color theory, and graphic design. And I heard that maybe there's some photography in there too, but I won't bring that up. In 1988, at the age of 14, she began her formal art education at the Governor's School of the Arts. This sparked a joy for learning and inspired her to complete her foundation year at the Montserrat College of Art. She also studied and taught art abroad, specifically in the Middle East. Her and my wife spent time in Bahrain.
We did.
Not at the same time, but, you know, some experience. We'll get some questions out of that. She studied art and art history at VCU's School of the Arts, commercial photography at the Portfolio Center, and botanical illustrations at the Lewis Gintner Botanical Gardens. How are you doing this morning, Steffi?
I am really happy to be here and to meet you, and that introduction makes me sound a lot more than I feel I am.
Well, you know what? We all got a past, and you used your time to chase and pursue your education and pursue your passion for arts and creativity, so I just tell the truth on the paper.
Very thorough.
Well, how are you doing today?
I am excited to be here and connecting with Amanda McGuire for the Red House Residency and meeting you and listening to some good music and enjoying a really nice, bright, sunny day.
Well, I'll tell you, the Red House Residency, for those of you who don't know, Amanda McGuire and her husband, Bill Regan, Billy, hey, Billy, hope you're out there listening. They run a bed and breakfast and they converted part of that into a space for creative types and artists to come to the Highlands to get away from the world, to connect with nature and be able to create the art that is their passion.
It's been an amazing experience. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday morning when I was up right before dawn and the whole entire property was covered in fog. And something said to me, you should get up and look outside. I bet you'll be able to see a deer. So I stepped outside, immediately looked to my left, and we both, the deer and I, just stood there and looked at each other. And I was like, I think it's looking at me and it's, you know, and I'm looking at it. And in the minute, in that flash, and then obviously it took off, I was thinking to myself, you know, I feel like I spent most of my life climbing a mountain, and now I'm completely surrounded and nestled by the mountains. And I just felt like that was significant, you know, as a place to kind of relax as much as you can with the amount of wasps that are native to Bath County. I'm not going to lie, it's helped me get over some fear of that. Buzzing friends.
Well, now, the wasp, that's interesting because part of your... So you have an event that's going to be a Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 noon afternoon at the Historical Society in Bath County. And part of that is bees.
We're going to learn how to draw a bumblebee. You know, I do a lot of nature journaling, and all that means is that you go out, you observe whatever your surroundings are, and you record it. It could be pictures, so you don't have to be an artist. Even though I do believe art is a skill, it's not something that you're born with. It's something that you work hard to get, so anybody can learn how to be an artist and a better illustrator, if you will. But you can use words, you can use symbols, you can use photography. Anything is just a record of where you are in that present moment. And bumblebees are a big passion of mine. I like to say that in my favorite dreams, I can talk to bumblebees. Didn't always used to be like that. I used to be afraid anytime something would come buzzing. Matter of fact, it was a joke in my family. My sister would come up from behind me, bzzz, and I'd go screaming in the other direction, right? But something happened a couple years ago. I was in a rough spot. I was working a job that I just didn't like. It was actually in a photography lab. Mm. I spent the majority of my time in the dark, 24/7, from like 8 o'clock in the morning, sometimes until 8 o'clock at night. I did the digital management of the entire lab. And I did that for a good 2 years, maybe a little bit more. And the more that I did it, the less connected I felt to life, because all it was me and the lab and the chemicals. And I was able to see all these wonderful things happening out there in life through people's film that I was developing and help processing and retouching. But I was feeling like I wasn't a part of it. And so that left me in a little bit of a dark place. And I just started going outside more. And the more I started to go outside, the more it started to call to me. And the more I started to draw. And one thing led to the next. And now I have left that photography life behind and am pursuing art as a full-time experience.
Your past is very interesting. I was doing some research for the interview and being able to talk to you briefly before we went on air, but you said something that was very interesting. No one's born an artist or a creative. Like, you know, people cultivate those skills and work hard to develop them. Early in your formative years, you took to art. What was it about the creative outlet that art gave you?
It was an escape. You know, it was escape from being bullied. It was escape from, I was born a military brat, so I was born in Japan. I was always the new kid. And when I was younger, it was really easy for me to make friends. And I always had this thing inside, like, school would start in August. By Christmas, you had all your friends. And since I was born outside of the United States, I spent every 6 months to a year up until I was 17 years old moving.
Oh, wow.
And Christmas was always like my tell. I'd have the friends, you know, you'd be oriented. But then after I started getting older, I started noticing that it was harder for me to fit in or to be accepted. People get their cliques as they get older, you know,
right.
And art was my way in. Art was a way in for myself to feel grounded and create beautiful things when it wasn't maybe such a beautiful time. And also it helped me to connect to other like-minded souls. So the more art that I started to pursue, the more artistic friends I started to have. And then that's when I really started to realize, oh, I know, this is just schematics, right? I just need to find my people, so to speak. And I found that through the art world in various different ways. And so as an adult, I struggled, I think like most people, to find their way and make a living and not be miserable doing it. And so I've always tried to find some sort of creative path to do that. And I've had lots of different inceptions. You know, my father probably would say the jack of all trades, you know, between photography and website design and graphic design, so many different things. But my heart has always just wanted to be in nature, drawing or creating film or creating photography. And so finally, I just leaned in hard a couple of years ago. I'm almost 50 now, so I guess probably 3 or 4 years ago, I started doing it more and more full time, decided I wanted to increase my skill. And as soon as I decided I wanted to do that, all of a sudden, I was living in Richmond, Virginia since 2006. And this was probably 2016. I learned that Lewis Gunner Botanical Gardens had a botanical illustration class. And my mom is also an artist, and she and I took it together. And the first class was a 5-hour class. We didn't even get halfway through when my mom turned around to me and made this motion to me, like, let's get out of here, because it was so intense. And I said, no, let's just wait it out. And I'm glad that we did, because not only did I finish the program, but so did she. And now we're both teaching there. And it helped me to realize that if I just believed more in myself and what it is I wanted to do and followed my intuition, the more that the path kind of, you know, finds its way.
Well, if you're just joining in, the voice you just heard is that of Steffi Baker. She is a mixed media botanical artist and teacher. She is currently one of the Red House. She is the only Red House resident at this time. She's here sort of working on her craft. She's doing some nature journaling, and you said that, you know, at the Saturday at the Bath County Historical Society, you're going to have a class in which you're going to start out drawing with bumblebees.
That's correct. This Saturday, we're going to have a 2.5-hour just fun experience. I'm going to introduce people to what nature journaling is, which isn't anything special. You don't have to be an artist to do nature journaling. You just have to be a lover of plants and a lover of nature and have a paper and some pencil. And then from there, I'm going to teach how to draw a bumblebee. So anything can be drawn. It's just a matter of breaking it down into shapes and then making those shapes into form. Really easy steps. Once you kind of learn the secret little, you know, tricks. So we're going to be doing that. And by the end of the day, we'll all have a little bumblebee to share for it. And hopefully get you started on wanting to do your own nature journaling as well. It's a great experience. I do it with my mom. We actually started doing it almost as a family tradition now, where we'll go out and we'll just have fun in nature, have conversation, bring a picnic or whatever, and then just let our imagination run wild with things that catch our attention. Show each other what we found, do some drawings or some photography, or make some little notes like in a field journal. And we started passing back and forth a sketchbook, and now we keep all of our observations together, and I think it'll be a great memento for when either of us move on.
Well, what I'm going to do right now is we're going to hear a song, and on the other side of the song, we'll check the weather, and then we'll be back with Steffi Baker. Stay tuned to Allegheny Mountain Radio. All right, we just finished listening to Dusty Springfield with Son of a Preacher Man. Before that was The Highwayman with The Highwayman. I am joined in studio right now by Steffi Baker. She's got a class that she's going to be teaching coming up this Saturday at the Bath County Historical Society. You grew up a military brat. You were moving and traveling. Mm-hmm. And you said that art was sort of your gateway into friendships and meeting other people, and it was mm-hmm. your sort of entry into social life. What was it like moving so much as a kid?
As a kid, I don't think I cared. You know, it was just like, we're doing this, we're doing that. Okay, that's fine. You just want to be with your family. And I was lucky enough that most of the places that I ended up was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of good people. And our house always seemed to be backed up to some sort of national forest or something. Mm-hmm. So there was always the, you know, neighborhood kids that you could play with until dark. My sister and I were talking about this recently, and we grew up in a time where it wasn't come home before the lights went on with the street lights, or we have to make a play date. We would be out from sun up to sundown, you know, in the back of the woods, jumping creeks. I mean, playing in trees. It's amazing that we didn't end up in the hospital, you know, with the amount of things that we got ourselves into. And all day long, punishment was if we couldn't be outside.
Oh, yeah. That's reversed over the last couple of decades since we were kids, people our age, huh?
It really has. Now you have to make, like, people my age that have children are making play dates, and they need to know, like, where everybody is at all times. There's no playing outside. There's definitely no going to the deep woods and cross creeks and swing from trees. That definitely wasn't happening at all, unless you're getting covered in, you know, deep woods tick spray or something.
You were born in Japan. Where else did you live? What were some of the, if there were exotic locations you lived?
Japan was, I was there until I was two. I don't have any memories other than in the room that I was in the crib for Japan. Although, interestingly enough, as I got older, I learned that my grandfather on my father's side was also in the war for during Japan and was a intelligence officer and loved jujitsu and East Asian art. And when I got older and I was studying at VCU, I did art history there, not visual art. I love art. I can at least be around it if I'm not going to be doing it. And East Asian art was my focus, and also took some Aikido classes for about 7 years, which was a lot of fun. Okay. So I don't know if that's coincidental or not, but there it is.
You lived in the Middle East for a number of years. Talk about that.
My father got a tour in the Middle East right before my sister graduated high school, and I was already a year into my foundational year at Montserrat College of Art up in Beverly, Massachusetts. And he said, since we're leaving the country, there's no way I'm leaving my kids behind, regardless of your age. I had just turned 20 and took my sister and I out, and we moved in with them. We lived in a place called Karbabad in this little Shiite village right outside the outskirts of Bahrain.
Okay.
Manama. And there was a lot of Irish there. We ended up making friends with some of the local rugby people and played rugby for a while, which was interesting to play with the Irish and the Brits. Their idea of rugby and American idea is two different things. That was a lot of fun, and was able to do some traveling while we were there, places that I would never be able to see if I didn't have the privilege to be there with my father and his career. And it was hard. I think it was hard being a white woman, you know, in the Middle East, young. That definitely was something to get used to. A lot of staring. We had curfews at one point in time because there was so much unrest in the Shiite village. A lot of rioting going on. We had this broken down car that would always break down no matter what, and it was a stick shift. And a couple of times it broke down right in the middle of a riot, and we would have to get out of the car, push it, and we had a couple of people help us. So it was an extreme place to live, for sure. But then at the same time, we met some nice local people, and we were able to enjoy some of the local customs with teas. And it definitely was an experience that I never would have had it not been because of my dad, you know.
How did that impact your creativity or art, like the work you were creating at the time?
That's a really good question. I met a couple of local artists there that were really into wood cutting, like woodblock cutting, and it was a lot of local scenery, so like arched doorways, stuff that you would find in mosques, teapots and stuff seemed to be, at least the artists that I met there, were focused on like everyday things that were happening, lots of patterning. That was beautiful, actually. You know, the amount of handcrafted work done for woodworking just on people's gates and doors was interesting. And I don't know, I think that's where I really started falling in love with photography and the people and getting to know people and faces. That's where I developed my passion for portraiture. And that's what I did commercially for a long time, was portrait photography, is because there's just nothing better than getting to understand where somebody else's world is. I was thinking about this on my way driving into Bath County, which I live in Richmond, Virginia. I live in Church Hill. It's a city, an urban city. Mm-hmm. I have a little historic home there, like brown stone, very long and narrow, and maybe have 1,500 square feet of plantable space. My point is, Richmond's only 2.5 hours away, and yet by driving up into Bath, and I felt like it was a completely different experience. It was like a portal, you know. You okay. Go just from less than a 3-hour drive, you're in a completely different part. You have nature, you have wasps galore. The Red House Residency, I think, should be rebranded, you know, with like a wasp. If you're not going to get stung by the art bug, then I don't know what, you know. And there's just something magical, I think, about that, where you're able to be in a completely different location. Like I had said before, I used to think of myself as climbing mountains a lot to get where I wanted to go. And now I'm completely surrounded and nestled and in the mountains, quite literally. It's a beautiful place. And I feel like it's a real privilege because, unlike being in an urban city, you're not disconnected from nature here. And I think that's what's missing for me. It's always been one of those connecting things. And I feel as I get older, that's what I feel more and more called to, is to have that connection to nature. And I feel like that could just be a fancy way to say life. And you don't have that in cities. You have a very big disconnection. People are very wrapped up, which I assume is even happening here. But the difference is you aren't interacting with life that's natural beyond the human experience. And I feel like that's what's really missing, is the fact that we too are a part of nature. And when we get into these sterilized city environments, sometimes I wonder what that does not only to our perception about our environment, makes us maybe not feel connected or care about it. So let's tear down this or you know, get away with that. These are just things that I start thinking about, brought to you by the Red House Residency.
Well, if you just joined us, the voice you've been listening to is that of Steffi Baker. She is going to be teaching a class at the Historical Society this weekend, Saturday to be exact, 10 a.m. to 12:30 at the Bath County Historical Society. She is a mixed media botanical artist and a teacher inspired by the wonder and beauty of our natural world. So your teaching career, you know, you at one point you were teaching literature and English, I believe you said?
I did. I was a substitute teacher when I was in the Middle East for the Department of Defense School, doing sub-teaching for for English literature and art classes, like visual art classes. So everywhere from finger painting from the preschoolers all the way up to sculpting and painting still life with the high schoolers.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to hear a song, we're going to catch up with some messages, and then we'll have one more segment with you, if you don't mind, if you're comfortable. And then what we'll do is get back into the show. Here is let's go with Billy Currington, People Are Crazy. I think they might be. All right, that was Billy Currington. People are crazy. People may be crazy, but you got to love them anyway. I am joined in studio by Steffi Baker. Steffi, it's really been nice getting to talk to you, pick your mind about art. You talked about the Red House Residency, and Amanda McGuire, longtime AMR supporter, used to be the news director for WCHG and actually was on air for a brief bit here for a while too. But, you know, the Red House Residency is something that she and Billy really wanted to do. They wanted to create a space where folks could show up, take advantage of the natural beauty of the area, and disconnect and create. How has your experience at the Red House been?
The experience has been exponential. It's hard for me, I think, to talk about a little bit because I'm still going through it, but I'm going to do my best. So give me a little, you know, leeway here. But I'm really grateful to Bill Regan and Amanda McGuire for having the vision to say, you know, I really want to have somebody come, women specifically, and not only experience the solitude. And I'm a big believer in there's no such thing as a self-made man.
Right.
Because there's so many other people, places, and things that have actually gotten wherever it is that we're going or have been and are there. There's no such thing as a solo exposition, so to speak.
I concur with you about that. I didn't birth myself.
Exactly.
Didn't educate myself. Didn't get myself here. So
right. Even in the moments where it feels lonely, there's still some sort of interconnection. So when I say that I'm out there in solitude, I mean probably more without humans, really, except for Billy and Amanda. I've met a lot of insect friends. You know, I've mentioned the wasps. Interestingly enough, I have a little digital microscope that I got pretty cheap off of Amazon. I've been collecting their little dead bodies all over the place, looking at them underneath the microscope, which I did not know that every single face is different, like a human face.
Oh, wow.
And started doing research on that, started learning a lot about how to keep them away from me, one of them being peppermint oil, which seems to be working.
Okay.
And some of the faces are actually quite beautiful, and I've never would have taken the time to have known that if it had not been for the Red House residency and Bill Regan and Amanda McGuire offering their property for that type of exploration. And that really fits very perfectly into my style of learning. I really advocate as a teacher to be curious about wherever it is that you are and allow your own curiosities and your intuition to guide you. I always call it like a Forrest Gump experience, where I'm just allowing myself to just see where life takes me, and then wherever it is that I am, do the best that I can while I'm there and see what happens. And amazing things always seem to come from it. As much as I try to plan and as much as I spend a lot of time in my own head, you know, it would be nice to be like this.
Right.
Ultimately, what works best is just to trust myself and to allow my curiosity to go for the walk. And one of the other things that I learned about some of the wasps on that property is there's an amazing blue steel wasp. I mean, it looks like a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
The body of it itself is like a shiny blue chrome motorcycle. And I've seen it alive, and it looks very precise. That thing is a hunter for sure.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know which are on the property. I haven't had a chance to really do as much research on it. It's one of two things, or maybe both. But one of them actually kills black widow spiders. So if you see them around your property, you probably don't want to disturb them, because they are going to take care of any type of poisonous spiders. And the other one is a cricket killer.
Okay.
And so they take them, sting them, and bring that back to their nest. So it's been interesting.
So, you know, one of the things that we always sort of, as people, we get to a place in our lives where we feel like maybe we can't learn something new or whatever. What would you say to someone who is hesitant about trying something new, or maybe they want to come out this weekend, but they're on the fence a little bit? Like, you know, relax that person, put them at ease about what's going to happen in your class this weekend.
Well, first of all, it's only 2.5 hours. So I have the spirit of, I will try almost anything for, you know, 2.5 hours. But the second is, it is not formal at all. It's not an enigma to learn how to draw or even to do nature journaling. If you can write on a piece of paper, you can do nature journaling. I don't have an agenda. Even in my formal classes, it's never me putting forth my ideals for what should be put on paper. I'm a big believer in not having rules when it comes to those types of art things. Matter of fact, Amanda and I were just talking recently when we were over at the Red House about how sometimes I wish I didn't take certain classes, because once you know something, like rules,
right,
you know, should be doing this, should be doing that, you kind of get shit on. It becomes difficult then to experience just with your own curiosity what you can do with a pen or a paper, whether it's with words or doodling, you know? And so that's my biggest thing. My biggest thing is I can show you some tips and tricks on how to make pretty things happen on the page with just a couple of tips and get people drawing pretty quickly. But then ultimately, I'm going to encourage you just to figure it out for yourself, meaning what is it that you're seeing that I'm not seeing, you know, or what is it that you want to put on the page that maybe I don't have on my page, which is kind of the most magical thing, if I'm going to use a woo-woo word, about art and specifically about nature drawing is we all see things differently. And so Amanda was just out on the Red House today picking me up to come here and saw this little baby snapping turtle. I had been in that same era that she was in for the past week and never saw it. So it's just interesting how we all are different and have different eyes to experience the same exact location. And to me, that's intriguing. And so I would say you're all welcome and you will be at home just by being yourself.
In photography, you know, you've got so many rules, the rule of thirds, golden spiral, and all these rules. But knowing when to break the rules sometimes can produce a better work or image. How does one understand and know when to break the rules of art?
That is a really good question, and one that I am currently moving through myself. I believe it's about not following what somebody else is telling you to do and having somebody else's voice in your head dictating how you see things,
right.
But instead getting very centered with yourself and trusting yourself to be able to create something different or really show somebody else through what you put down on paper or film, what maybe they weren't seeing before. And so in some way, you have to be a rule breaker. Rules are great to get you started, right? Especially when we were growing up, right? Don't put your hand in the fire. You're going to get burned. You know, those types of things. Don't drink the poison. That might not be so good. And it's the same with art or photography. There's basic rules to get you there. Like you were talking about compositional rules, or in visual art, shapes, identify the five key shapes in nature. There's only five. And then how do you make those look three-dimensionally? Well, there's 1,000 ways to do that. And everybody's going to tell you the right way to do it. And sometimes if we become so hypnotized by other people and put their authority over ours, I think we can lose ourselves as artists. I see it happen a lot in class too. People wanting the teacher's approval, and so wanting it to be done in the way that you specifically said it, or a visiting artist specifically said it. And, oh, I can't do it this way, because a lot of times I'll have a student say, I'm not able to do it that way because so-and-so, some other famous art person that was there as a visiting artist, said not to. And to no disrespect, I'm like, well, yeah, that works for them, but what works for you?
Right.
You know? And so that's one of the things I'm trying to do, is get some of the voices out of my head of well-intending teachers that helped me increase my skill, but maybe has stymied me a little bit because I've put more emphasis on them than just relaxing and experiencing the natural world and my own art for that sake, the way that I do when nobody else is listening, you know, or watching.
Well, that was the voice of Steffi Baker. She is the Red House resident artist. She's going to be hosting a one-of-a-kind drawing workshop Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 at the Bath County Historical Society. You're going to be teaching folks how to draw bumblebees.
Simple and basic.
Simple and basic. Well, Steffi, I really appreciate you getting out of your comfort zone, coming in, having a conversation. I feel like I learned a lot. Part of our mission at Allegheny Mountain Radio is not only to entertain folks, but we have an educational and an informational component to our task. And so you have helped me breach and meet two of those. So thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for letting me be a part of that mission. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're going to get back into it. Here is one from Zach Brown Band. Stay tuned, Allegheny Mountain Radio.